We are going to be wrapping up our series today. If we haven't met yet, my name's Ryan. I'm one of the pastors here at Grace, and I'm going to ask for your patience with me today. I'm a little sick, so I might be needing a sip of water here and there. But as we wrap up our series today, we've been working on this conversation or set of conversations called Pursuit. We've been looking at the dreams and the vision that God has called us to as a church. And we've been saying, Pastor Jeff has been leading us through this, where he's been saying that there's a set of price tags to that vision. There's a set of costs that come with it. And so we've been having frank conversations about what those costs are, what the vision is that God is leading us towards. And as we wrap up our conversation today, I want us to think of Grace Church as a tree. And yes, if you're wondering, that's the best that I can do. This is my tree. Don't make fun, I'm sensitive. Let's think of Grace Church as a tree, and what Pastor Jeff has been telling us and helping us to understand is that God is calling us to expand our canopy, that the reach of Grace and the impact of Grace Church as a people and as a church has to continue to grow and to expand and multiply, that more disciples need to be made, more lives need to be changed, more marriages need to be saved, more campuses need to be launched, more churches need to be planted, that people need to find their purpose and their hope, that God's kingdom needs to continue to expand through our little portion that we are working in here at Grace. And what he's been helping us to realize is that as this canopy expands and continues to grow, that we as a church and as individuals, we have to broaden out our base of sacrifice. That the current level of sacrifice that we are living in and the folks who are really kind of bearing the weight of Grace Church simply is not enough. That if we are going to grow into this, more of us are going to have to bear weight and sacrifice and lock in really at a profoundly different level than we have been. It's one of the prices that we're going to have to pay as a church. And as we look at all of this, what I want to dig into today is a critical piece of this equation that is sometimes misunderstood and sometimes overlooked, but it is absolutely necessary if we're going to grow into all that God has called us to be, and that is building a root system. The roots of the tree, kind of the underground, unseen part of what makes a tree flourish is all of these roots that spread out. Let me talk about this. I did a little bit of research on trees, learned some things I didn't know before. I kind of love trees, so I was excited to learn some more stuff about them. And here's what I read. It says, tree professionals suggest that in order to plan enough space for your tree, you plan on root growth extending between 2 to 3 times larger than your canopy. 2 to 3 times larger than your canopy when the canopy comes to maturity. It says, if your tree is projected to have a canopy of 20 feet in breadth, you can expect to have roots spread, have your roots continue to grow out here of up to 60 feet. Roots set the pace because they are needed to provide adequate water, oxygen, and minerals to the growing tree. This conversation about roots, about the stability that's kind of underground and unseen and often misunderstood, is something that we are going to have to really dig into as a church. And let me define roots for the sake of our conversation. This is the definition that I kind of made up for our conversation today. Here is what I mean by roots. They are deeply held beliefs that come from Scripture. They're convictions. We could say it's a biblical worldview. It's I'm going to see my world, see my life, see who I am, what I do through the lenses of God's voice. And that's going to define how I view life. The gospel is probably the last one that we would use. So these are all these convictions, beliefs. I parent the way that I parent because of God's voice on my perspective. I'm married and lead in marriage the way that I do because of what God has said about marriage. I do business the way I do because of what God has said about it. And God's perspective has formed these convictions that end up bearing out all of this life. want to talk about this. And before we jump into it, I want us to see that there have been two errors, really, that we as believers, both as individuals and as groups, have walked into. One is just to kind of pursue the externals of the Christian life, just to pursue kind of all canopy. And so some groups of believers said, let's just do all the stuff that Christians do. And what will happen if we do that is there may be a lot of things that happen at once, and it's exciting for a time, but there's no longevity because our roots aren't strong enough to maintain it long term. This is how kind of Christians that walk in a phase of Christianity or flash in the pan churches play out. To just pursue canopy, to just pursue the externals of it, kind of cuts us off from our power source, which is the roots. The flip side of that, the other error, is just to pursue roots. This is very common as well, right? That we would just pursue knowledge or information about God's voice, but without any vision of what that voice should accomplish. We just do all of the internals, the study of God's word, but without a view of actually putting it into practice in life change and in service to others. So as a church, as we're walking forward into God's calling, we have to look at the whole picture and say, God is calling us to all of this. Today, I want to focus us in here on the roots, and I want us to look at a passage that is profound. It's Psalm chapter 1. The book of Psalms is fantastic. If you don't have a Bible with you, you can grab the Bible underneath one of the chairs around you, and it's page 374. In those Bibles. As you're turning there, let me give you a little background to what the Psalms are. They're actually condensed songs that the ancient Hebrews would have sang, and they would have had just amazing truth set in them. And Psalm 1 is designed to set us up on a path, and what it's going to do is it's going to introduce us to two voices, and it's going to show us that these two voices are going to lead us to two very different visions. And it's going to show us the wisdom of following the voice that leads to life. Let's walk this through in Psalm chapter 1, in verse 1. We're really going to camp out here, so I'd encourage you to turn there if you haven't. Psalm 1:1 says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers." Blessed is a word that basically means congratulations. So congratulations to the one who does not do this. And what the psalmist is introducing here is a negative vision, a negative voice that starts. And he's going to say this, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked." Other translations would put it this way, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or walk in the advice of the wicked." Blessed is the one who doesn't kind of hear the voice of wickedness, hear the voice of our culture calling to us, and they reject that. He says, congratulations to the one who does that. And the ancient Hebrew who's reading this, who would have been reading this in their time, would see a progression play out, and I want us to see this progression because it's very purposeful in the way that it's written. So he says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in the step of the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers." So here's this idea of I'm being introduced to the voice of my culture. I'm introduced to the voice of wickedness. I hear it. I begin to walk in it. And then the ancient Hebrew would hear the word stand and understand that I'm beginning to practice it at that point. I'm taking the counsel of the wicked, and I'm beginning to put that counsel into practice. And then the next progression is not only do I take it in, not only do I hear it and begin to practice it, but I actually sit in the company of mockers. I start to become like the one giving the counsel. This voice that I'm hearing is leading me down this path that's taking me somewhere. And the writer of the psalmist wants us to know that this voice, kind of our culture, calling us to a life of selfishness, calling us to pursue things that are ungodly, is leading us down a dangerous way. He introduces to us another voice in verse 2. He says, "Blessed is the one who's not like that," verse 2, "but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on it day and night." Let's think of the law of the Lord as God's voice. That is what the law is. It's the embodiment of God's heart and mind. It's his voice speaking to us. So the psalmist is setting us up as we enter into the Psalms, right, this set of wisdom and worship of God, he's saying there's these two voices out here, the voice of the culture and the voice of wickedness kind of screaming out to us. And then over here is the voice of God, and he's saying congratulations to the one who hears the voice of God. And here's why, because when I begin to take in the voice of God, the same progression that happened over here happens on this side. As I take God's voice in and I begin to stand in it, I actually start to become like the one who's speaking to me. I start to look more and more like God. The psalmist is showing us these two voices lead us down these paths and they create very different outcomes. As I was processing this, I was beginning to realize that we've probably become numb to a very profound reality. And this is what this reality is. I want us to hear this. The reality is that God has spoken to us. I just want to say that again. God has spoken to us. That is a reality that I fear we have become numb to. And I want us to see this because this is so profound. If we can start to get our hearts and our minds around it, the fact that God has spoken to us tells us something about God. Think about this. Think if God had created everything, right? He created the world. He created all that is. He creates all of creation. He creates human beings. He knows how we work. He knows how we function best. He knows what the path is that leads to wickedness. He knows what the path is that leads to righteousness. He knows what leads to joy. He knows what leads to fulfillment. He knows what leads to fruitfulness. He knows what leads to the canopy. He knows what leads to destruction. Now imagine if that God decided not to tell us anything about that. What if God decided not to speak? And he said, here, guys, go figure that out on your own. That would be incredibly cruel of God to do that. The very fact that God has spoken to us, and that tells us that God is a God of kindness and compassion. The fact that he would reveal us his heart, reveal his ways, show us and say, hey, it doesn't have to be like that. Come over here, follow my voice, and you can be rescued from the voice of wickedness. Man, to see that reality shows us that God is good, that God is real, that he is fighting for our hearts and for our minds. Because I feel like I need to tell you just a little bit of my story, because as I follow Jesus longer, I'm starting to realize that my process hasn't probably been typical of most. Because in my experience, I grew up having no exposure to the Bible, no exposure to God's voice. And so I would be able to say that I was immersed in the voice of wickedness. I didn't realize that. It was just normal to me. So when God's voice started to show up in my life, it was my first year out of college, and I began to be called to follow Jesus, and I was able to say yes to Jesus for the first time, as I started to hear God's word, it blew my mind. It blew my mind because everything that I had built my life on, everything that I had structured, all my efforts and energy, everything I had focused on in life, I found out as I heard God's voice, and then it had all been a lie. Blew my world apart. The fact that I don't live for me, that this life really isn't all there is, because that is a mind-blowing fact. As a mind-blowing fact, as I started to stumble into one or two of these realizations, what I started to realize is, I got to slow down, and I need to take a step back, and I probably need to just erase all of my belief system, because evidently, I have no idea what I'm doing here. The way that I'm going is not the way that's going to lead to life, so I'm just going to push reset, and I'm going to go back, and I have to build all this back up from scratch. My friends would ask me, my friends who knew me before as a follower of Jesus, they would say, Ryan, what's your opinion about this? And man, I had an opinion about everything. And what I started to say to them after I started to follow Jesus is, I don't know what my opinion is. I don't know what my opinion is about marriage or about work or what's best to do in life. I need to hear God's voice before I know what I'm what I believe about that. I got to form a root in this area before I can tell you what I believe, because I realize that everything I have believed, the vast majority of it, has been unreliable and has led me on a path to wickedness. And so as I look at my process and I interact with my friends who grew up with a different experience, with an experience of being very close to truth, I started to realize that we can be around truth. We can be around God's voice all the time. We can be so immersed in it. We might even know it. We might even know the information. But we can be close to God's voice and never actually take it in, and never actually begin to stand on it, and never actually become like the God who speaks to us. I really started to discover this as my wife and I had a great privilege. We got to lead this team. It was a leadership training institute that we got to work with for a couple years. And we got to lead this group of young adults down on this trip. And what I wanted to do is I wanted to expose them to a faith practice that was different than theirs. So it was a Christian Bible-believing church, but they did things totally different than they were used to, than this group was used to. So we went to this service, and they saw all this stuff they weren't used to. Blew their mind, right? They're upset because that's not how it's supposed to be. And so what we did is we went to this service, then we processed it afterwards, and they came back, man, they were filled with all these opinions, and they were just unloading them on me. That's not right. That's unbiblical. They shouldn't do things that way. And as we processed, I began to ask them, and how do you know? How do you know that what they did in there is not biblical? How do you know that what you believe is right? Well, my mom told me. You know, my pastor told me. My church told me. By the end of the conversation, I just handed one of these guys that was the most vehement in his opinions, I just handed him a Bible. And I said, brother, can you show me? Can you show me God's voice on this issue? Can you come back here and you show me these roots that you have? You're so convinced that this is God's perspective on this issue. Surely you can show it to me, right, from what God has spoken. Man, he just looked at me. He knew the conversation was kind of over because he had no idea what God actually said about that issue. He knew what people said. He knew what his mom said. He knew what his pastor said. But the actual connection to God's voice had not become a real conviction in his heart. His faith had not become fully his own. He was leaning on and relying on the faith of others. Something happened in that team that moment. That group of people realized, man, we have not owned God's voice. We've not owned God's voice. We have not made our faith our own. And the people that locked onto that, they said, we are going to develop a root system. We are going to find out what we believe. We are going to know why we believe it. And guys, that changed that group of people. They were fundamentally different. They were people of conviction. So we're going to see here in a minute, people of conviction are different. Leads to a different place. When I've heard God's voice and I know that I know that I know, because it goes all the way down and the roots embed into the very voice of God. Let's see where these two voices lead. As I listen to the voice of God, verse 3, what happens is the person who meditates on it day and night, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. Let me try a little experiment before we dig into this verse. The two voices. The voice of our culture, the voice of God. Let me just say this. We're going to pick one or the other. Whichever one we pick, we will interpret the other voice based on the voice that we pick. Watch what I mean. If I'm walking in the way, in the voice of wickedness, when I read this passage, watch what happens. Whatever they do prospers. Right? When I hear that, what did I just hear? I heard, if I read my Bible day and night, that I'm going to get rich and I'm going to be able to be very good at whatever I want to do. This is interesting because let me ask you this question. We're talking about a tree. When a tree prospers and a tree is fruitful, who does a tree bear fruit for? Does a tree bear fruit for itself? Does a tree spend its fruit on itself? See, if I want to give my life away, if I want the canopy, if I want to see lives change, if I want to see disciples made, if I want to see the kingdom advance, then I will be prosperous in this pursuit. Because this is where this voice leads me. I want us to see how deep this stuff goes. Our beliefs, our fundamental voice we're listening to is going to affect everything that we do. Let's look at this tree planted by streams of water. I'm going to read you this verse in Jeremiah. I think it's in your program. You don't have to turn there. Jeremiah 7 says, "But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream." Listen to this part. "It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in the year of a drought and never fails to bear fruit." Guys, what happens is if I'm a person and if we are a church that is always reaching and pursuing and going after God's voice, what will happen is we will become unstoppable for the kingdom of God. Heat will not touch us. Trial will not stop us. The leaf will not wither. Burnout will not happen. The fruit of our lives becomes a benefit to all the people around us. This is the vision that Psalm 1 is creating for us. It's important that we see the other side of the story. What happens to me if I listen to the voice of the wicked? If I follow the voice of my culture and I begin to stand in it and I begin to sit in it, because let's be honest, it sounds kind of fun, doesn't it? You guys ever been at the table of mockers? Isn't it fun to sit around and kind of make fun of everything and not take life seriously? What I've noticed is, hear me on this, we are in a culture of mockery. Nothing is sacred. Everything's a joke. Oh, it's fun, isn't it? I don't have to deal with anything. It's fun sometimes to sin. It's fun in the immediate, but what it leads to is disturbing. Guys, this part's hard, so I want you to hear me and just prepare yourself for it. Verse 4, this is where this all leads. Verse 4 says, "Not so the wicked. They are like chaff." I'll come back and explain what that is. "They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction." Here's this idea of chaff. When the wheat is gathered in, there's a shell around the wheat, and the processors of the wheat, they would rub it together, and the chaff and the wheat would kind of fall down into this net together, and then they would kind of pop up the wheat and the chaff together, and the wheat has more weight and substance, so it would fall back down. The light chaff would be driven away by the wind, and they weren't concerned about that, and there's a reason for that, and this is because the chaff had become completely worthless. Guys, when we follow the way of our culture, when we walk down this, oh, listen, this voice is so loud. The voice of our culture is screaming. Billions of dollars are spent calling us down the path of wickedness every year. When we follow that path to spend our life on ourselves, to spend our time and our money and our energy and our affection on us and waste our lives in that way, what happens is we become worthless to the people around us. I know that that sounds hard. But these two pictures are borne out in contrast. Man, the tree that is solid and blesses everyone is unstoppable. And the chaff, and it spent all of itself. It's not really good for anything. We don't really even care if it blows away. It has no roots. It has no substance. Its pursuit of selfishness has borne out, and there's nothing left. As the reality is, the psalmist wants us to feel, is that the voice that I take in and I begin to practice and I begin to become like, it creates the vision that I live out. If I take in the voice of God, man, I will become, we will become, what the Bible calls an oak of righteousness. There's no people like this. You ever see somebody that's followed Jesus for a long time? There's something about their life. They're convinced. Doesn't matter who's preaching that week. Doesn't matter which church they're going to. Doesn't matter who's leading the worship. Doesn't matter what children's program. They will follow Jesus. They will follow the voice of God no matter what. Guys, the people that follow this voice, we know where that leads. It leads nowhere. It's bankrupt. As we process this as a church, guys, and as families and as individuals, this pursuit has to go deeper than, okay, I'm going to go home and read my Bible. I got it. Message received. There has to well up in us an urgency to live out of God's voice, to let God's voice determine how I live tomorrow. I need to hear his voice because I need to go to work tomorrow, and I need to know how to be tomorrow, and I need to know how to raise my kids, and I need to know how to love my wife, or I need to know how to be single, or I need to know because I have to go practice it tomorrow. And man, I don't want to go any farther down the road that leads to destruction. There has to begin this process with a foundational decision to say, I will long-term aggressively build this system. I will personally find the truth in the Bible to build my life around. And I will not be satisfied unless I hear it from God himself. There's people like that. Man, a church like that. A church like that. People like that have a crack at this. This will not happen if we are just going to be connected to Grace Church because it's a fun place to be and it's kind of cool. It's not enough. It has to be about Jesus. It has to be about hearing the words of God and saying, it's your voice, no matter what the cost. Men, let me talk to you for a second. Especially those of you who are married or have children. Historically, men have led the way in this. Historically, men have set the pace and said, I'm going to lead my family into the development of this root system because I have the wisdom and the insight to know that what we become all starts right here. And I find the piece of our culture that couches men as people who do not read and do not think and do not study, I find that, and Scripture finds that piece of our culture unacceptable, and so should we. We need to begin to cultivate a picture of masculinity that is passionate about dealing with the roots and building the roots from the ground up. Men who lead their homes like this, man, they're like oaks. Ladies, if you're married to a man and you've been wanting him to pursue this, please hear me in love. Don't ask him again. Don't nudge him right now. You let God himself deal with your man. Trust him with it. If you're a young person and you're forming these roots right now, go after it now. Throw the time and the energy and do not settle for anything less than God's voice driving you to become this. Guys, what if to get a jump start on this, we said, you know what, let's take a 2-month fast from entertainment to just go after building this root system. Let's write down everything we need to hear God's voice on, and let's go after figuring that out. Some of you are phenomenal planners and leaders. What if you sat down around a family table with some friends or your family and you said, let's build a strategic plan on how to attack this and how to pursue God's voice because we're unwilling to settle with anything less? What if you did that? What if you had the kind of tenacity that would say, man, I'm not going to sleep tonight until I hear God's voice? Not because we're legalistic, but because God has spoken. God has spoken. Right, some of us are going to take this conversation in and you're going to run with it. And for those of you that do, what will happen is, and you're going to become something fundamentally different. 10, 20, 30 years from now, you will become a person of wisdom and insight and depth and power and love. You will not burn out. You will not be able to be stopped. And the people who hear this and run with it will build this next phase of Grace Church. I guarantee it. It's just how it is. Guys, as you're processing this, don't hear the voice of God in vain. The psalmist isn't telling us this to make us feel guilty, to shame us. He's telling us this is so important. So go and respond to the voice of God while we're able to hear his voice still. Guys, this is a long-term project. And honestly, the how-tos are a lot easier than this initial decision. We can help you with that. We can process it through together. But it has to start with a decision that says, I will pursue this. I'll build it up because I will not settle for anything less than God's best. Guys, let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we praise you. We thank you that you've spoken. God, forgive me for neglecting your voice in my life. Lord, I know that I would be so much farther if I would have considered your voice earlier and more fully. And God, I pray for myself and for my friends here that you would put in us an unquenchable, unstoppable hunger to hear your voice and to hear it so that we might put it into practice and walk in the truth that you have given us. Jesus, would you lead us that way? Would you make us people tenacious for the pursuit of your voice? It's in your name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen.